In a world in which movies struggle to find plot, Alan Adams of The Main Edge breaks it down for you in Pass the Popcorn. Now on Downtown with Rich Kimball.
Yep, welcome back. 15 after 5 o'clock, time for Pass the Popcorn. Alan Adams joining us right here in studio. Happy Monday.
And to you as well, sir.
We were comparing notes. How'd your weekend go?
It was pretty good, relatively uneventful. After the previous weekend that was just a jam-packed social, whirlwind, it was nice to just, like, we had, we went to a friend's for dinner on Saturday night, but other than that, we pretty much stayed close to home.
Nice.
It was nice. Like, the Ides of March, St. Patrick's Day, right. It's all jammed up together. I did a corned beef in the crock pot for Sunday, which was nice.
So were you out at any local establishments at the crack of dawn yesterday?
So here's the thing, Rich. while I certainly will not cast any aspersions or make any judgments, but in my younger days, I would partake in that sort of thing. But the reality is, it's one of 2 days that are strictly amateur hour.
I hear you. Yep.
It's just one of those things where it's like, I'm going to stay home. I'm going to make my corned beef. Nice. Maybe I'll have a Guinness, but like, and I do love the sort of spirit decor that comes with the early mornings.
And I think it's better in the morning too, because, unless there's a real problem, people aren't drunk and stupid at 6:30 in the morning.
Yeah, they haven't had time to get to the place where you'd prefer that they go home.
Yes.
So that's nice. But yeah, I mean, it was really pretty quiet. Frankly, we spent a lot of time watching a show that we only recently discovered and quickly became an obsession for us. It's a show called The Traitors.
Oh, okay. Did you finish Boston Legal?
Yeah, sure did. All 102 Ooh. Episodes,
wow.
I think.
Wow.
Yeah, no, it was a lot. There's this, I don't know if you're familiar with The Traitors.
No.
It's a reality show, which ordinarily, like, if it's a reality show that doesn't have food or Gordon Ramsay, like, I'm kind of not interested. we watched this one kind of on a whim. We just sort of picked it up. It's hosted by Alan Cumming.
I like it already.
It's set in a Scottish castle, and it's basically like 20 people. And it's have you ever played the party game? Like, some people call it like Assassin. Some people call it Mafia.
Oh yes, yes.
Like, it's basically that.
Oh, nice.
Where it's, you have, like, there are three people who are deemed traitors, and they get to pick someone to murder every night. But every day there's a round table where they banish someone who is suspected of being a traitor, but it's almost never a traitor because, again, the first episode I watched, I'm like, well, this is stupid. The second episode, I'm like, oh, all right, well, all right. And then the next thing I know, it's like, oh, well, I've watched the entire first season in like 3 days. So we're actually looking forward to digging into the second season.
Nice. And what network is that on?
We got it's streaming through Peacock.
Okay. All right.
I don't know if it's I don't know if it has an actual, like, cable home or anything. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know how old the show is.
Okay.
We had a lot of fun with that. So which ultimately precluded me from going to see going to the movies to see Marky Mark's adventure race dog movie.
Too bad. Is that your loss? I'm not sure it is.
If it's Marky Mark with a dog, it's like, oh, well, it's, a battle of equals. You know what I mean?
Right. I saw somebody, a little capsule review over the weekend. It said, if you like Marky Mark and dogs, you might like this. But if you only like one or the other, it might not be for you.
Yeah, so I wasn't too broken up about it. No. We'll put it that way. I did watch a couple of streaming offerings this weekend, so we've got that going for us.
All right, well, let's hear what you got, Mr. Adams.
So we sat down and watched the Netflix Lindsay Lohan starring rom-com Irish Wish. So we watched that this weekend. I'm a little late on this one, but like I felt like it was important for me to watch it so we could discuss it. It's a film called Ricky Stenicki.
Oh, yes. I've seen the trailer for
starring,
it.
Starring one John Cena, among others. So I watched that one as well. And I'll be honest, I'm glad I did. We'll talk about that.
All right.
But yeah, which would you like to start with? I will say Irish Wish is newer, but since St. Patrick's Day has already passed, perhaps it's dated already.
Well, then let's hear about Irish Wish and dispense with that, as I'm sure others have already.
Yes, well... So, for those who are unfamiliar, Lindsay Lohan was a former child star who became tabloid fodder and then basically vanished from the spotlight for like 10 years before only recently making a bit of a comeback thanks to a deal with Netflix. Rumor has it that perhaps her incredibly wealthy now husband may have contributed in some way, shape, or form. I'm not gonna say yes, no, maybe, like whatever works. But you sit and you think, you know what I need? I need some sort of like poorly constructed magical realism, sort of rom-com where Lindsay Lohan makes a wish and becomes a bride instead of a bridesmaid.
Oh.
I mean, that's kind of where we. This movie is very not good, Rich. it's really not a pleasant experience. So as I said, Lindsay Lohan stars along with I don't know some other people. Like, they're drawn from the various corners of the Netflix universe, so I don't really know who they are.
And no one else does.
You know, they look as algorithmically generated as I'm sure the script was, you know. Although I will say Steph Curry's wife is in it. So there's that.
Okay.
I'm like, oh, yes, I've seen you in the audience at a basketball game. I didn't realize this was something you did. Turns out I don't think it is something that she does.
No, maybe her best work is done at the game.
not a lot of quality performance being done in all of this. I'll give you a plot rundown because it's kind of hilarious. So Maddie Kelly, that would be Lindsay Lohan, works in publishing because of course she does.
Mm-hmm.
She has fallen in love with the author whose book she has been working on, an Irish fellow by the name of Paul Kennedy.
Oh, well.
Yes. Hey, hey, hey.
Magically delicious.
Yep. She's the only person who knows that she has these feelings is her mother. Her mother, played by a totally checked out and pretty clearly not even on the same set, Jane Seymour.
Friend of downtown Jane Seymour.
This is what I'm saying. It's one of those parts where you're like, okay, so you had her for a day and she could not be bothered to go to the set. So it's like, all right, well, a lot of FaceTime scenes.
Yeah. Can I do this from my home? Great, I'm in.
Oh, and it's like, yeah, you're doing a movie all about Irish people. And it's like, oh, we got Jane Seymour. Let's make her from Iowa.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, no.
Dr. Quinn now?
Because nothing screams Des Moines like Jane Seymour.
Well, right. She is from the breadbasket. You can tell when you look at her. Yes.
But yeah, it's one of those things where it's like, I'm not entirely sure she even knew the name of the movie. yeah. I wouldn't be shocked. But you know what? Get paid, Jane.
Uh-huh.
That's what I'm saying.
Yep.
Get some of that Netflix money. Anyway, so she's been, you know, keeping these feelings at bay. And so we're at the release of the new book that hints her. It's alluded to that perhaps she's done a little bit more than edit the book. In fact, that she may have written a fair amount of it, but she's in love with him. And tonight's the night. She's going to tell him. And he's like, you know, I have something that I really need to talk to you about. And she's like, oh, maybe this is it.
Ooh.
And then he basically is like, I would like you to do more of the same thing that you've been doing. And she's like, well, that sucks. And then one of her friends, there's a meet cute with one of her friends and the author. And then we do a very, very fast leap forward in time. And then we're in Ireland because those two are getting married.
What? Just like that?
Just like that.
Wow.
And so we go to the big Irish estate. There are airport hijinks. She meets a traveling nature photographer. There's an incident over whose bag it is at the baggage claim.
Mm.
She gets left behind by the rest of her party because, I don't know, because everybody's a jerk in this movie. before she finally makes it to the estate for the wedding and is super bummed out because it's like, oh, I'm in love with this guy, but he, you know, he's marrying my friend. And, you know, they go out and do various adventures, and through a set of really convoluted and ridiculous circumstances, she winds up on a wishing bench.
Okay.
You know, like you do.
Sure.
Yeah. You know, where she meets a mysterious figure who, spoiler alert, we find out later is the mysterious, is Saint Bridget.
Oh, okay.
Which, who is apparently a real saint.
Yeah.
I guess.
All right.
And she wishes that she was marrying Paul Kennedy. And then,
well, who doesn't?
The wish is granted. But you know what, Rich? Maybe, just maybe, this isn't what she really wanted.
And what about her friend?
Exactly.
Aww.
But it's, and then, you know, the hijinks ensue because, again, she's wished herself into this situation with no context. So she doesn't know anything about what has happened beforehand. And there's some nonsense with families and brothers and mysterious folks who pop in and out of the film for no real reason. And they just kind of, they're in for a scene and it's like, oh, is this person important? And then you never see him again. You know, it turns out the real Irish wish is the friends we made along the way, I guess. I don't know. This is not a good movie. No. It is, it's frankly, I mean, it's the sort of thing where you're sitting there and you kind of look at your partner that you're watching and you're like, are we really doing this? And, you know, and the answer is yes. Yes, yeah. We are. You know, it's like an hour and a half long. It seems like, you know, 10 times that.
Oof.
It's, yes, for a movie where nothing really happens, it sure does drag.
Well, at least she's back.
You know, and it's like, and I'm glad for her.
Me too. Ever since I tried to save her, I think I've told you the story. Years ago, traveling for Maine football, Bob Lucy and I at LaGuardia early on a Sunday morning, and I look ahead of us in the line, I go, that's Lindsay Lohan, I'm pretty sure. I look again, man, very sure. Long story short, she ended up at one point walking through the airport early on a Sunday morning with a plate of bacon and offered me some bacon. And I passed on that. But we, you know, we exchanged pleasantries several times. And I think this was early in the troubles for her. And I think she appreciated the fact that she knew, I knew, but I didn't call attention to it. And so we had a thing, and I tried to send her telepathically the wish that she would make better choices, perhaps starting with the bacon.
That's hilarious. What I also find hilarious is the thought of, I'm going to go ahead and say that Bob had literally no idea who she was.
No, and Bob texted his daughters, and at the time they were, I think a couple were in high school. Like, oh my god, I sent a picture. Yep. Like, oh my god, that's her. Oh my god. yeah. Bob did not know.
Lucy, bless his heart. No. But yeah, so Irish wish. I wish I hadn't seen it.
Yeah. Well, and may that be the wish of all of us here.
Hey, today.
We're talking movies with Alan Adams here on Downtown. Well, let's shift gears. Let's go from Irish Wish to a little John Cena with clothes on, right?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yeah, for most of it.
Most of it, okay.
Yeah, Ricky Stenicki. Okay, so we talked about this a little bit, and I've mentioned this a couple of times on the airwaves. I think John Cena has proven himself to be a legitimately gifted comedic performer.
Yeah.
Like he's got a knack for it. You know, the fact that he can juxtapose that against his impressive physique just makes it work all the better. But yeah, so Ricky Snicky, it's from Peter Farrelly, who directed.
Nice.
Along with Cena, you've got Zac Efron, Jermaine Fowler, Andrew Santino is in this. And we also get appearances from luminaries such as Jeff Ross.
Wow.
And William H. Macy is in this movie.
Well, he's got to pay for college now. So.
Yeah, no, he's got bills to pay. You know, that 10% cash bail. Like,
right.
You know, it's like, Felicity, you need to go in.
Yes.
But yeah, so it's a pretty simple plot, but it's one that I don't think I had seen before, or like maybe variations. But so basically, the gist is we start in 1999, and it's these three kids on Halloween. trick-or-treating, and they're like, they come up to this one house, and they're like, okay, who's got the poop? So they're going to, because they're mad at this house. They never give out, they never give out candy on Halloween. So they're like, we're going to light some dog, we're going to light some poop on fire and leave it on their porch. Classic. So they light the poop, they ring the doorbell, they run away. Nobody comes out. Fire gets bigger.
Oh, dear.
Nobody comes out. The scarecrow on the porch catches fire. Nobody comes out. And then it's like, oh, God, we need to do something. They panic. They start running around trying to put the fire out. It quickly goes out of control. They realize we have to call 911. And one of them, thinking quickly, takes the charred bit of costume that one of them had been using to try to put out the flames and writes a name in it. And the name is Ricky Stanicky. Like, they're kids, so they're panicking.
Sure.
So they're like, we need to come up with a name. And so this, you know, the police come, the firefighters, and they're like, oh, one of these dumb kids left their thing. You know, the mom labeled it Ricky Stanicky. And then that was their suspect. So our friends, our kids, they got away with it.
Except...
Well, here's the thing.
Oh, okay.
They learned the wrong lesson from this.
Oh.
In that, okay, anytime anything goes wrong or we need an excuse,
Ricky Stanicky.
We'll use Ricky Stanicky. Flash forward to the present day. They're all adult men with wives, partners, families, etc. And they are still using Ricky Stanicky as an excuse to get out of whatever it is they want to do.
Sure.
They have spent 25 years developing this imaginary person. And so they have what they call a Bible. And it's so they write everything down that they've ever said about so they can keep their story straight.
Right.
And so Ricky Stanicky went on to, after, you know, some trouble in his young adulthood with dealing with drugs and other substance abuse issues, cleaned himself up and became a global do-gooder of sorts, traveling the world, trying to... you know, building schools and all that, you know, a real like saintly type, who also is a cancer survivor. But like, so every time these guys want to get out of doing whatever, they've just like, oh, something came up with Ricky. We're going to go see Ricky. And so they want to get out of the baby shower because one of them, his wife is about to have a baby. And they're like, we don't want to do the stupid baby shower. And so they make arrangements for Ricky to call. His cancer's back.
Aww.
They got to go to Albany.
Oh, no. It's Albany.
Yes. Well, and bear in mind, we're in Providence, Rhode Island.
Oh.
It's a Farrelly movie, so obviously we're in Rhode Island. So away they go. But where they're really going is Atlantic City. They're going to go party in Atlantic City. But the guy's wife goes into labor early.
Uh-oh.
And they've got their phones off because they don't want to get tracked.
Mm.
So when they turn them on, bunch of messages, they panic. They head home as fast as they can. It's too late. Baby's been born.
Ugh.
And so they're really in a tight spot. It's like, why weren't you there? And they think about telling the truth. And instead, they double down.
Blame it on Ricky.
And they're like, well, what happened was, turns out Ricky actually is, the cancer didn't come back. He's just celebrating his, you know, his 5 years of sobriety. And he wanted us to come. And so he surprised us. So he pranked us. And long story short, the threads start to come apart in their story. And they're like, you know what? They're going to have to meet Ricky Stanicky. As it turns out, while they were in Atlantic City, they met a fellow named who went by the stage name of I'm going to go ahead and say it, Rock Hard Ron. That would be our John Cena.
Yeah.
He's an entertainer in Atlantic City who does a show where he does masturbation themed covers of popular songs. So he basically changes the lyrics of there is a montage of him doing some of these songs that is the funniest part of the movie. It is objectively hilarious. Like, it's he's wearing costumes. He's doing it's really funny. I'm not going to tell you any of them because you should go into this one relatively clean, because there are some surprises in there. So they reach out and they're like, hey man, can you come can you be this guy for a couple of days? They basically invite him to come to the baby's bris. And he shows up and is full method and absolutely crushes it. Like, he's just like he's clearly done like all the homework. Like, he's really embodying this guy, and it works. The plan works. It's like, oh, like everybody's suspicions are thrown. Like, he charms everybody. It's great. And they're like, they put him in a cab and they're like, okay, you're done. But is he done? You know, when you've been Ricky Stenicki, do you really want to go back to being Rock Hard Ron? I don't know.
Probably not.
I don't know. No. As you might imagine, that could potentially prove complicating for all of our heroes.
Exactly.
I was gonna like this movie just because, you know, it's easy, dumb fun. It's pretty good. Like, it's pretty funny. It gets a little raunchy in places.
Okay.
Which, you know, if that's not your bag, this might not be for you. But Cena absolutely crushes it. The reason this movie works is because he is so clearly willing to go for it in a way that, I don't know, you might not necessarily expect. Like, it's a logical outgrowth, I suppose, from working as a wrestler, because you have to be prepared to go pretty hard.
Right, right.
But yeah, to translate that to something like this, it's pretty surprising. And then, you know, you've got some really talented folks, like Jermaine Fowler is really funny. Andrew Santino. Zac Efron's really good in this as well.
He's turned into a pretty solid comedic actor. Yeah.
No, he's definitely figuring his stuff out for sure. But it's really silly. It's really funny. You get a couple of really good sort of supporting turns from, I mentioned William H. Macy, who basically is Zac Efron's boss. And there is a... There's a very small subplot involving him that I'm not going to say specifics, but I'll just tell you, our friend Jason Preble would probably find it very amusing.
Oh dear.
and then we've got Jeff Ross as a rabbi.
Okay.
Well, there's a bris. You got to have a rabbi.
Right, sure.
And your rabbi is Jeff Ross.
Wow.
So here we go. And then so on and so forth. Again, this is not a movie that, like, do not show this movie to your children. But if you're, if you're sitting at home on a Wednesday night and you just popped a gummy and you're like, what am I going to do for the next hour and a half? You could do a lot worse than Ricky Stenicki.
Yeah, I want to go just for the songs now. You sold me with those.
You will enjoy yourself immensely.
Excellent. All right, there you go. The scoop on Ricky Stenicki and Gone But Not Forgotten, Irish Wish.
Hey.
Thanks, Alan.
My pleasure.
Have yourself a good week.
You as well.
It is 5:39. My goodness. We'll take a break. When we come back, we've got the good, the bad, and the ugly. The calendar, the birthday.